What is up, everyone? My name is Ryan Garcia. I'm joined by Sam, as always. Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. The New York Yankees sweep the Baltimore Orioles. It was a very lopsided series, to be completely frank. I think the closest the series felt was either the bases loaded jam today or tonight. You guys are going to get this tomorrow morning. Or when it was 4-3 in game three. But other than that, this was pretty much a blowout. So, I mean, Sam, how we doing, man? How we feeling?
Yeah, no sweat. I mean, Joe Sixpack clocking in for another edition of the Fireside Yankees podcast. I mean, Ryan, we talked about it earlier pre-show. I mean, this series never felt close, and I think it's been a very long time since they kind of kicked on an American League East opponent in this matter. And granted, this wasn't even a three-game set. This is a four-game set that started on Friday, ends on a Monday night, super unconventional. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I mean, they just completely came out and destroyed this team. And I think that this is awesome for them because I feel like we came on here a couple episodes ago and I was talking about how they were losing to these teams that we know that they should beat. Right. I think that they struggled really early on against these certain organizations that, hey, like, you should go in there and take 2 of 3 or take 3 of 3 or like whatever. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen them take care of their business and beat bad baseball teams. And this Baltimore Orioles team, I think, has kind of shown their colors that they are a bad baseball team, but they took care of business. They outscored the Orioles this week 39-10. That is unbelievable. They were just putting runs on the board. The pitching looked great this weekend. So I'm feeling good, Ryan. This team legitimately looks unstoppable right now.
Yeah, it's just, they're just rolling. They're really just rolling. And, you know, I do want to get into how good this team's been. But I do think we would be doing a disservice if we didn't talk about the horrible news that came out earlier today. This morning, news broke that longtime Yankees radio announcer John Sterling passed away. He died at the age of 87, obviously just a pillar of the organization for so long behind the mic. It was awesome seeing just like the pouring of love. Like, this is obviously incredibly sad, but I think Susan Walden made this point on her social media where she talked about the celebration of life and just seeing the celebration of John Sterling, all the funny John Sterling clips, the, you know, sun comes out Tanaka, the ball hitting him and him calling the final out right after. Like, he was awesome in his job. And honestly, I thought he was a great ambassador for the game. So, Sam, I don't know if you have anything you want to add on, but, you know, obviously really sad news, but also really awesome to see the pouring out of love.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats. I mean, I feel like for us in this industry specifically, he was a role model and a mentor to so many that are in this field specifically, especially as being Yankees fans is what, and what we are. And I mean, a lot of stuff that, you know, people that our industry take away is it does originate from John Sterling and how great he was behind a mic. I do want to say my favorite John Sterling moment is the one that you mentioned with the it was the Justin Turner foul ball that hit off of his head in the booth, which is still just one of the craziest things ever. Stayed in there, completed the game. And I did a little shout out thing in 24 for Sterling when he retired. So I was glad that I was able to be a part of that at that point in time. But I did. It was so cool scrolling Twitter, scrolling Instagram today and just kind of reading, you know, and seeing all of the media that has come out from John Sterling and his performance behind a mic over the past couple of seasons. So rest in peace to him. Shout out to his family. I hope everybody's doing well. And it was legitimately, like you said, Ryan, it was a celebration of life all over social media today. And it was really awesome to see.
Yeah. And again, it is awesome to see so many people have so many good things and incredible stories, whether it's individuals talking about like their shared experiences, knowing John Sterling or interacting with Sterling. It just felt like everybody had a great John Sterling story to tell. And, you know, I grew up listening to so many games on radio because I would like be in long car rides with my dad. And then, I mean, I've always been obsessed with the Yankees. So, you know, I mean, he's the voice of my childhood. He's the voice of the childhood of like so many generations of Yankees fans. So
right.
It really is awesome. And I'm glad the Yankees got the win today. And they played the Yankees win. John Sterling's voice was played in the stadium right before they did Frank Sinatra, which, again, I thought was a great moment, having the JS in the back of the cap. I'm not sure what their tribute to him is going to be, if they're going to keep the JS, if they're going to go with like an armband. I'm not really sure. I know they did like a patch for Bob Shepard. So again, I'm not sure, but we'll see from here. Let's get some baseball stuff, because I think, you know, the big news of the weekend, transactionally, like we're talking about the roster, Jose Caballero, we all kind of like, all right, you know, it was a fun run, was a good run, but Volpe's here. And instead of that happening, the Yankees optioned Anthony Volpe down to AAA. Sam, are we reading into this a ton? Are we looking at this as a big time statement by the Yankees? Is this something to just kind of go, ah, who cares? Like, what, where are you at with this? And do you think the Yankees have lost faith in Anthony Volpe?
I think this is the right move. I think that, frankly, this was the right move from the organization. And I will say, Ryan, this is, it's kind of coupled with a lot of stuff that they've done over the past couple of weeks, right? I think that we can kind of acknowledge that we've seen this front office move a little bit differently this season. And that comes over the last 2 weeks with transactions that we've seen. I think that, you know, if this FO in years past, they probably would have kept Luis Gil up and had him pitch for another five starts. I think that this roster in years past probably would have kept Randall Grichuk on for another 45 games. I think that in years past, they would have brought up Anthony Volpe immediately and had him take over Jose Caballero's spot. But they're not moving that direction, Ryan. They are prioritizing winning baseball games and making the proper moves that are going to, you know, directly benefit winning for this organization. And I think that this Volpe decision is 100% correct, right? Anthony Volpe is not going to step onto the field for the New York Yankees and become an all-star. He's not going to be one of your top six or seven hitters. He's not going to be this absolute superstar that, you know, he was touted as when he came up in 23. He is going to be a average major league shortstop or a below average major league shortstop. And I think that you are going to get similar, if not better, production from Jose Caballero, because I think that what we've seen with Caballero with the glove has been shaky at times, but I think that you can point to last year with Anthony Volpe, and I think that you have a little bit more trust in what Caballero can do. I think that Caballero gives you more ability on the base paths, and I think that in certain instances, he might give you more at the bat. I think that for this, the biggest expression that I can point to with the Anthony Volpe getting sent down to AAA thing and where this team is at specifically is you don't need to fix something that's not broken, right? I think that if this team was struggling, if Jose Caballero was struggling, maybe they would look at Anthony Volpe in a different light and say, hey, let's give this a shot. Let's try out Volpe. Let's see what he has. But Caballero's been really good for this Yankee team recently, and they're not knee-jerk with Volpe and wanting to bring him up immediately. I don't think that we're not going to see him this year. I think that we will see Volpe at some point in time, and he will play shortstop for the Yankees at the big league level this year. But I love that they're just not knee-jerk with him, and he essentially needs to earn his role in this organization at this point now. And he's down there, Ryan. He's down there competing with GLJ at AAA since he just got the call. So I love this from the organization, not because I dislike Anthony Volpe, but because I thought, you know, this is them taking their time and making the right baseball move and not basing it off of emotion.
Yeah, and I want to add to your point. We talk about not basing it off of emotion, going straight off of what has actually happened. I think you and I would agree the hope for Anthony Volpe was that he was going to come up, provide competitive at-bats, run the bases well, and play really good defense at shortstop. I'm already getting that. Like I just described to you 2024 Anthony Volpe. When we look at the actual results, Caballero's OPS plus is higher, so that's a win, and that gives you that good feel about where he's at. I think he's a more chaotic base runner, but ultimately a better base runner just because of how much volume he accumulates in terms of attempts and things of that nature. I think the success rates are fine. And defensively, he's already got 7 defensive runs saved and 2 fielding run value. Like, he's going to have a very strong defensive season if he sticks the full year at shortstop. I looked at the expected stats because I think you and I have talked about this before where I've noted that I don't think Caballero's offensive performance, specifically talking about the bat here, is particularly sustainable. So xWOBA is the stat that's like kind of the catch-all. Hey, if it's good, you have good, you know, you have a good process at the plate. If it's bad, you have bad process at the plate, or like your numbers are not supposed to be good or something of that nature. If you want me to dumb it down, basically, he's got a 263 xWOBA. That's Jose Caballero. That's not very good. That's pretty bad. Like that indicates that he should not be as good as he's been. Anthony Volpe in 2024 was 278. Like, this is not we're not talking about a large enough gap here where these are functionally different baseball players.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to sit here and tell you that the Yankees are definitely not going to call up Anthony Volpe. I think if Caballero struggles, we're going to see Volpe up. And I think there's a chance that Caballero goes like 3 for 30 in over the next 2 weeks, and yeah, then he no longer has his starting job, and Volpe comes up and takes it. That's definitely a possibility.
Right.
But I also think that everything the Yankees did to defend Volpe before, which was, oh, he's not hitting, but he's playing great defense. Who cares about the bat? He's playing elite defense. All that logic's going to apply to Jose Caballero. As long as he's playing elite defense, it does not matter. And it should not matter, because you're not going to get a bunch of offense from Anthony Volpe. And I don't think it's necessarily a good sign, Sam, that the Yankees, in their first opportunity to call up Anthony Volpe to displace, again, career utility man, traded by two different teams for not much in return, Jose Caballero, they didn't take that opportunity. If the team was, and it's not like Aaron Boone's explanation was, well, we're just trying to build him up more. Well, you know, he didn't get the amount of at-bats we're looking for. His explanation was Jose Caballero playing well changed the calculation. The Yankees have very publicly in the past said Jose Caballero is the 10th man. He is best moving around the infield. Watch any Aaron Boone presser in 2025 when he's asked about Jose Caballero being the starting shortstop. It's almost always part of his answer. He always reassures people that Anthony Volpe is a starting shortstop. That has not been the case. They have not given that same messaging. Sam, I think there's just a different tone. And as you mentioned, with the urgency aspect of things, yeah, this team's acting like, hey, we're rolling. We're playing really well. And if you're either in or you're out, right? You're either in or you're out. Randall Grichuk, you're not hitting well? Sorry. Can go. I'm sorry you didn't get a lot of playing time. Not my problem. That's your problem. Luis Seal, yeah, it's four starts. Sorry. You blow. Sorry. Boom. Bye. Volpe. Prospect pedigree, it's the easy decision. It's the one you can explain away. We were always going to do this. Nope, smell you. You can go stay in Scranton until you prove it. And if you don't, and if you're not playing well, and George Lombard Jr. is out playing you, right? Like, sorry. Look, this is not a team that's in rebuild mode. We're not in the game of development, my friends. We're not in the game of figuring out and finding out. Because figuring out and finding out is how you end up losing a game here and there, and you end up not winning your division because you lose on a tiebreaker. That's how that ends up happening. It's wake-up time. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
I mean, there's, like I said, man, like there's no need to fix something that's not broken. And I think that, you know, they like their core. I think that their core has played incredibly well. Obviously, they're 24-11. They're the best team in the American League. I mean, they look like the best team in baseball at this point in time. There's no need to force feed Anthony Volpe into this Yankee lineup right now and make him a staple. It's just not necessary. And I don't think, Ryan, if the way that this roster's built out specifically right now, I don't know if there's a role for Anthony Volpe at this point in time outside of being the starting shortstop. So they're not going to force feed that because there's no reason to. And again, dude, like it's not a thing where I dislike Anthony Volpe, right? Like I understand what Anthony Volpe is. My trajectory for Anthony Volpe isn't going to change. I don't think he's going to become some sort of superstar overnight. We've seen guys like him and Wells and what they are as Major League Baseball players over the last couple of seasons. We can draw conclusions on what they're going to be as Major League Baseball players. We know what Anthony Volpe is. We've seen the product on the field for numerous years at this point in time. The Yankees are now looking at this and saying, you know, we're good. It's not Boone coming out and saying, well, he's effing elite. And it's not Cashman coming out and saying, yeah, we'll see. Like, he's really good. No, man, like, they are fully sticking to their guns here, and it seems like it completely flipped. So I think that the future for him in this organization is completely up in the air. And I think that, hey, man, if they like what they have from Caballero, and Caballero continues this trajectory this season of being a pretty good baseball player for this Yankee team, I don't know if he's going to have a role. I don't know what the future looks like for him over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, and this podcast isn't, you know, oh man, I really have grown. I've always been a Volpe. I've always disliked Anthony Volpe, and I've always had some odd affinity for Jose Caballero.
We were his biggest fans.
Not even just that, dude. I don't think a single person watching this would be able to contend this point. When Jose Caballero does something that I don't like, I say it. I've been very vocal. I really don't like some of the base running decisions. I think sometimes he plays with zero feel for the game. Zero feel for the game. There are moments where I go, I understand why the Rays traded you for Everson Pereira.
Right.
There are moments when I watch him play where I say that out loud. But with that being said, the catastrophic mistakes being he's going to have a week where he makes three or four really bad base running plays or gets thrown out trying to be aggressive versus, man, that ball is hit to Anthony Volpe and that error sparked a really bad inning and the Yankees ended up losing that game. I always think about the game in the Rogers Center. Do you remember the Yankees were up 3-1? Rodon's on the bump. He makes multiple defensive miscues in the inning. The Yankees end up blowing the inning. They lose the lead and they end up getting swept. And if they hold on to that lead, and if Anthony Volpe makes the damn plays, the Yankees might have won the ALDS. The Yankees might have gone to the World Series that year. We can't have that kind of player. Right? And I'm not saying Anthony Volpe is going to come up with stink again defensively. But I have no idea what he's going to look like post-labrum surgery.
Right.
No clue. And I think the Yankees don't know. And honest to God, I don't think they want to. Why? It's kind of like, what's the expected value here? What's like the upside of this play? Like, really, what's the upside here? Like, the downside is that he comes up, he looks like he's a guy fresh off of labrum surgery. He runs a 30% strikeout rate. He hits 180, and he makes multiple poor defensive plays because he looks like a guy who has not played a major league game since October of 2025.
Right.
The upside is what? What is the upside? He runs a hot BABIP for a month?
Yeah.
So you're basically betting on luck, which you've, again, like, the only way to logically argue for Anthony Volpe to come up is if you are 100% certain he's going to play elite-level defense again, which I'm sorry, you just cannot do after labrum surgery. You just can't. You just can't.
Well, here's the thing that I will point out, okay? I'm going to be so honest with you. I don't think I've seen anybody negatively react to this. Have you seen people negatively react to this? I think
probably
that everybody's
the most universally
kind of
loved.
I think that this is kind of a consensus play where it's like, wow, they actually made a very smart decision here to not just hand him the job back. So I think that, dude, this is great from them. And not and again, it's not a thing where we're hating on him. It is a smart move organizationally to just stick with what you have because what you have currently is fine. And I think we're good. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Hey,
I agree.
Hey, Volpe, the Cavs here. We're all good. We're all good. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I just can't. You just can't get me to sit here and not believe that this is the right decision for right now. Maybe in a month, Kyle Yarbrough's playing poorly, Volpe looks great, and we make the swap. But for right now, sorry, right call. Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few players' stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tell my picks and tell my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight. Let's talk about some more good stuff. Dude, the Yankees outscored the Orioles 39-10 in this series. Sam, I texted you on Saturday. Sunday. I texted you on Sunday saying, we are going to glaze TF out of Ben Rice in this episode. I think I actually just dumped, I think I watered that down for our audience, and so we don't get demonetized.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that that makes total sense. You're good.
Dude, Ben Rice is slashing 343, 455, 759. It looks like he's fine, that the hand injury isn't too serious. He is the best qualified hitter in baseball. He's the only qualified hitter in baseball with a WRC plus above 200. He's the only qualified hitter in baseball with an OPS above 1.2, so 1,200. He's the only hitter in baseball with a slugging percentage over 700. He leads baseball on base percentage. He's second in baseball on batting average. He leads the AL on batting average. Sam, what you got for me, man? What do you got with me?
This is a stamp top 10 hitter in the sport. He's a stamp top 2 first baseman in the sport. He's currently the best hitter in the sport. And I think that him and Aaron Judge are solidifying themselves as the best offensive duo in the sport. Okay. Here's a take that I have for you. And this is a little outlandish. It's out there. Trust me. I think him and Judge hit 100.
100 home runs.
They hit 100. And it's not with them each getting to 50. Okay. Judge hit his 14th last night. Okay. Chris told me earlier on our show that the 13 home runs that he hit to this point in the season yesterday was the highest of his career at this point in time of the season. He just hit his 14th. It is May 4th. He's going to hit 60 again. Aaron Judge is going to hit 60 home runs again. Ben Rice is going to hit 40 home runs. The two of them will each finish with an 1,100 OPS. Judge will probably land at 1,200. Rice will probably land at 1,000. They will probably both be top 10 qualified hitters in the sport. And like I said at the top, this is probably the best offensive duo in the sport, hands down. And I said it last week. We now have Ben Rice in the breath of air as far as greatness of hitters right next to Aaron Judge. How do we talk about Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge is so good, it's boring. Yep. He's so good, it's boring. Like, yeah, dude, I know you're going to gotten hit 50. I know you're going to get a 1,200 OPS. We know what you are. Ben Rice is the same guy. It's the same type of hitter. You put him, yo, I am sick and tired. Yo, listen, I don't want to hear the Vladdy argument anymore. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I do not want to hear about it. That guy's pushed like an 850 OPS over the last three seasons. I don't want to hear it. He could not lick Ben Rice's boots right now. It's not even close. This is the best first baseman in the sport, Ryan. Best qualified hitter at this point in time. And this is what I like to call real baseball. Because sometimes it's fake, right? Shout out Justin Robleski in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. That's fake baseball. We'll come back in July and he'll have a 5 ERA. Ben Rice, this is real deal baseball right here. Okay? I'll see you at the end of the year when we're at like 7F4, a 190 WRC plus, 43 home runs, and 1,100 OPS. He's stamped like the best hitter in the sport right now.
Yeah. And I got to say this, dude. Like, this is crazy. I just checked the stats dating back to last season. There are 7 hitters, qualified hitters of a WRC plus of at least 150. Ben Rice is one of them. Ben Rice, 151. Kyle Schwarber, 152. Juan Soto, 156. George Springer, 157. Kurtz, 161. Otani, 164. Aaron Judge, 200.
Dude, like, that's, yo, it is legitimately unbelievable how good Aaron Judge is. Like, and that needs to be stated. Like, it is, like I said before, bro, like, it's like, he's so good that it's boring, and you expect these mammoth video game numbers out of him every single day. And I think that this season for them specifically, it gets buried. For him specifically, I think it gets buried because everybody else is hitting. Yep. Like, Rice is hitting. Bellinger's hitting. Jazz is waking up. Like, they look great as a collective. And I think that Aaron Judge's greatness gets overshadowed because of it, because it's not Aaron Judge. It's not Aaron Judge and friends, right? Like, it's Aaron Judge and Ben Rice and Cody Bellinger and the rest of the entirety of the offense that looks great. And I just think it is, I think that we take for granted what he is as a major league hitter every single day. And he is probably the greatest right-handed hitter we've ever seen.
He's that good.
Yeah.
He's that good. And the crazy part is it doesn't feel like, it's so weird how just casually great he is. I was doing some digging because I, you know me, I love kind of taking a peek at the stats and seeing if there's, you know, anything that's different or new from an offensive standpoint. I want to clarify for people at home, it's really hard to pull the ball because you oftentimes have to swing and miss more or chase more. Like it's harder to, it's not as easy as just, oh, get out in front. Aaron Judge is pulling the ball in the air more than he's ever had at any point in his career. It's up nearly 10 percentage points, his pull air percentage from 2025. His whiff percentage has come down by a percentage point. So he's whiffing less. And his chase rate is virtually identical. This guy is just unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. It's unreal. It's uncanny how good he is at hitting. You watch the guy, and when he's locked in, dude, oh, right? Like, it was a rough couple of weeks to start the season for his standards, of course. You know, his standards are just different, right? But he just looks like, I mean, it's crazy because he's not the MVP only because, he's only not the MVP because, and I don't know what sound just came out of my headphone. That was weird. ESPN. Don't have the ESPN app on when I'm recording a podcast, I guess.
Okay.
Anywho, Aaron Judge is like, he's just the perfect hitter. Like he's a 300 hitter every year. He's a 50 to 60 home run guy. He's doing this in an era where no one's ever thrown as hard on average as they do now. Nobody's ever had a better understanding of how to throw a sweeper or a breaking ball or add pitches. Pitchers have more information now than they've ever had before. Teams are smarter now than they've ever been before, even relative to the past. Like, the dumbest team in baseball is what? Like, would you argue it's the Rockies? Look what the Rockies are doing organizationally with Chase Dolander, having him add a bunch of different pitches. They've gotten some production out of Tomoyuki Sugano. You know, the Mickey Moniak pickup. Like, they're still, like, they're not stupid enough where you could just, where you can, like, make, like, the Clay Holmes trade. Could you make the Clay Holmes trade in 2026? No. You really
can't.
Hell
no. No.
These, quote-unquote, dumb idiot teams are really smart compared to where they were 5 years ago. So, all of this information, everybody's got access to Driveline, everybody's got access to this pitch data, biomechanics, whatever. And Aaron Judge is 34 years old, and he's still unstoppable. They haven't figured him out. He's unbelievable, man. He adjusts when he doesn't have to adjust. He makes changes after winning an MVP. He makes changes after tearing it up in the postseason. There's nobody like him, and there'll never be anybody like him, in my opinion, again.
All right. So we're going to log. All right, so we're going to log our one for the week. Okay, here's what I got for you. So WBC Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Whole country was clowning on him. Yep. Right? Like, obviously, like, he was really bad down the stretch for that Team USA team. Comes out this year, and he's just like TG again. Okay? Unstoppable. You know what that is to me? That is Season 4, Episode 6 to Episode 7, Thrag. Okay? Thrag in Episode 6... the entire internet was clowning him. They're like, this dude's a loser. All he does is care about that stupid skull. Just like watches everybody stomp over him. He's a little crybaby. He sucks. He can't do anything. He's a fraud. Thrag comes out Episode 7. TG, Orr Farm, Sly back with a bullet comes to him from Space Racer, rips off Thrag's head. After these fellas go through his planet, he's like, yeah, dude, you guys are all dead. I choose death. I choose death. Welcome to the Aaron Judge Experience. That is Season 4, Episode 6 to Episode 7, Thrag from Invincible. That's what Aaron Judge is in 2026 to me.
I mean, it's a perfect comparison. It really is. Because here's what I'll also say. A lot of the people who said that, what I feel like there's a fan base that largely said it, But I just, it's hard for me to think of them right now because, like, I'm worried on contenders right now. Like, the Rays are red hot. You know, I don't know, the Blue Jays, they've lost a couple games, but they're still the Blue Jays, right? You know, the Mariners, you wonder when they're going to get hot. You know, you got to look out in the National League. The Braves look like the Braves of the early 2020s where they're just a unit. The Dodgers look great. Like, I got to focus on the good teams, the relevant right. teams. Like, I can't focus on slop.
100%.
So, I won't even. But hey, they got their licks because, you know, their guys hit a bunch of home runs in the World Baseball Classic. Good for them.
I have not called them dead yet.
Well,
I have not called them dead yet. No, I've called the Mets dead. I think the Mets are dead for sure.
I think the Red Sox are dead.
You think the Red Sox are dead too?
They stink, dude.
Yeah, I think I like the young talent more in Boston than I do with the Mets. And I also just think that like the Mets are just in like just such a landslide. I think the National League is going to be so hard to get out of compared to the American League.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Dude, I'm sorry. There's just something about a Red Sox team that can't like beat the Yankees. That's just
oh my
so-
goodness.
What's up?
I need to tell you something about the American League.
What you got for me?
There is, okay, it's May 4th. There is absolutely no reason why the Yankees can't come out of the American League this year. There is legitimately no excuse, okay? And here's why. The Tarek Skubal injury puts the Tigers completely up in the air to the point where I looked at that Tigers team and I thought that they were going to be the second best team in the American League. Right. If mm-hmm. there was one singular team that I thought could challenge them for a pennant, it would be Detroit. Tarek Skubal is going to miss 3 months. So that plucks out their best player for 2 to 3 months. We don't know where they're going to sit at the end of the road there. You should beat Seattle. If Toronto gets healthy, you should beat Toronto. Who else is sitting out there for the Yankees to lose to? This is 110% their league to take. And I'm going to be so honest with you, Ryan. The way that it is set up for them to win the American League this year, I would be super, super disappointed if they didn't do it. Because I think that this is the best Yankee team that they've put out over the past 7 or 8 seasons, and they should come out of the American League and be in the World Series this year.
To put it simply, it's on the... Look, injuries could arise and kind of derail everything, and I don't want to, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that's not the case. It's baseball, right? Like,
for sure.
Just, in 1 second, the Tigers went from, hey, they kind of have the kryptonite, Skubal and Valdez, they can just, like, kind of throw a bunch of lefties at the Yankees. That could happen to the Yankees, so I'm going to just, I will say,
fair.
Asterisk, if you stay remotely healthy, obviously you're going to incur some injuries, but if you deal with normal health outcomes... which is you're going to lose a starter, you're going to lose some position players, but, you know, for the most part, you don't lose anybody like an Aaron Judge or Rice or, you know what I mean? Then you should be fine. And you should be, yeah, I agree. Like, that should be the expectation. And look, like, I am not one to sit here and tell you that every time the Yankees don't win the World Series, it's a complete failure. There are some teams that just aren't good enough to do it. It's just that simple.
For sure.
This year's team, the Yankees have acted with an urgency that indicates they strongly believe this could be the team. Mm. And, you know, I think that this team, it's too early to tell. It's too early. Too early to tell. But they've played really good baseball, and they have the pieces. I think anyone who's watching, the most pessimistic person could even sit back and say, hey, I can see how this team does it. It's just a matter of whether they actually execute or not, which we can't know until they get there. There's a deadline ahead of us. There's so many things ahead of us. But this team could certainly do it. They have the pitching. They have the offense. I mean, it's crazy. Like, a month ago, dude, they weren't swinging at pitches down the middle, and now they're just hammering every pitcher they see at this point. They're drawing counts. They're knocking pitchers out early. They're tagging on the mop-up guys in the bullpen. I think every time they tagged the back end of the Orioles bullpen, it helped them the next day because you had Lou Trevino pitching in this game. Like, that's,
for sure.
That's something that you do when you're playing a 4-game set.
Who couldn't get in tonight, by the way?
And that story that – so apparently – despite the fact that Lou Trevino spent like multiple seasons here, like was a New York Yankee and security should know who he was, could not get in and had issues getting in. Here's another stat.
3 years, right?
Crazy. Here's a crazy stat for you. The Orioles have not played a series where they didn't lead for a single inning. In this series, that happened. They did not. So the Orioles did not lead in a single inning played against the Yankees this series. The last time that happened was in May of 2000. Sam, how old were you in May of 2000?
Oh, no. I was one. I wasn't even one.
No, you weren't.
I was...
Were you born yet?
I mean, what's the math on... No, I was born.
2000.
What's May, the math? I was 7 months old.
I was negative 4 years old.
Yeah, I was 7 months old when that happened.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, dude. Safe to say that hasn't happened in a while. Like the Yankees beat the crap out of these guys. And the offense obviously plays. We talk about Ben Rice and Aaron Judge. We highlighted Cody Bellinger a little bit. But I want to give a shout out to one guy who, like, bro, credit to this guy, because we talked about it. You know, you come up, you get an opportunity. Let's take advantage. Jason Dominguez, really nice series. He got banged up against the Rangers. I was like, that really sucks for him. He's going to lose, like, just as quickly as you get an opportunity, you lose the opportunity. And hits against lefties. Just a great series all around. Man, I really like what I saw from Jason. And if this is the player he's going to be offensively, he's got a spot on this team. I don't care what they look like when they're healthy. He's got a spot on this team.
Yeah, right. And I think that the question is never, all right, we know that Jason Dominguez is a very talented offensive player. I think that the question's always been with the defense, and what he looks like out there in the outfield. But I will say, Ryan, the hits off of the lefties were super impressive, because it was like, hey, like, Jason can really hit right-handed pitching. His strength was, hey, we're going to bring you up. You can mash against right-handed pitching. We don't love what you are against left-handed pitching. But if then you start adding that skill that you can now hit left-handed pitching, and you put that as a part of your arsenal, then there's less questions about you, right? If he can hit from both sides of the plate, we know he's an excellent base runner. Then the only question about it is can you play defense? And here's actually a question that I would pose to you, Ryan. So say we're going 27, right? Like, I don't know what the rest of this year is going to look like for Jason Dominguez and how much run he's going to get realistically once Stanton comes back. Say we get to 27, yep, right? And say that he survives the year on this team and this organization. Mm-hmm. How comfortable are you opening day 27, Bellinger center field, Dominguez left field?
I don't think I'm like, I don't think that's that big of an issue to me, depending on where Bellinger's athleticism is at. Like, assuming that Bellinger doesn't suffer a catastrophic injury, that he comes back and he's like a tick slower, or like he's like a full grade worse in terms of athleticism,
right,
I'd be fine with that. The question I have is really with Jason's defense. We really have not seen him play the outfield. So I can't make a judgment that he's gotten better defensively. I don't know. I don't. And I'm not going to pretend, oh, well, he's looking good offensively. So clearly that happened defensively too. That's not how baseball works. But the bat is certainly intriguing. Like, the numbers against lefties is not kind of a new thing. He looked good against them in spring training, which is something you look at and you go, oh, that's interesting. Not really something I'm going to conclude on, but that's interesting.
Right.
And then you watch him in AAA, and he really looked good against lefties. Like, everything was good. He slugged over 700. The underlings were good. The batted ball data was good. He didn't strike out against them. And that becomes something to note. That becomes something where you sit back and you go, oh, okay. Like, this might be something.
Right.
And then you see, again, very small sample size, but he has another stretch of really nice at-bats against lefties. And it's not that we need Jason Dominguez to become a lefty masher. He just needs to have good at-bats against them, because it takes him from platoon outfielder who can't play defense to, okay, like, he can play against every pitcher you see. He probably can't play defense, but, like, Teoscar Hernandez in the league, and Teoscar Hernandez can't catch a fly ball. He gets paid $20 million a year by the best team in baseball, right? Like, I'm not opposed to the idea of my corner outfielder not being good defensively, as long as he can hit. The Yankees went to the World Series with an outfield that it consisted of Juan Soto in right field and Aaron Judge in center field. Like, I've seen really bad defensive outfields. As long as you can hit enough for it to be worth it, that's fine. And I'm not like, I'm not really like the biggest Jason Dominguez guy in the world. I think there are a lot of fundamental flaws in his game, mostly on defense, but there is a threshold of offense that it just doesn't matter anymore. And yeah, like, if you're gonna rock a 125 OPS plus, like, yeah, man, yeah. And if you remember, a Giancarlo Stanton injury opened the door for who last year? Who's the guy who stepped through?
Who did it open the door for? Was it Rice?
Ben Rice won the DH job.
It was Rice. Yeah.
If Jason Dominguez has a good stretch and plays good baseball, sustainably good baseball, the New York Yankees are going to look at this and they're going to go, okay, you're still in the rotation. You're still going to be here. Randall Grichuk's gone. Jose Caballero does not have an outfield glove. He told the media he does not have an outfield glove.
Yeah.
Who the hell is their fourth outfielder?
Well, that was actually my next point, was if Jason can now has unlocked this ability to be able to hit left-handed pitching really well. That's why he didn't start the year on the roster.
Yep.
He didn't start the year on the roster because we're like, yeah, let's bring in, I mean, how old is Randall Grichuk? 36 years old, 37 years old. Let's bring in 37-year-old Randall Grichuk so he can hit against lefties a couple times a week. Dude, it should be Jace Dominguez. It should be Jace Dominguez in our active roster. And I think that if he now has the skill set, what I meant by that is like, there's less red flags about Jason Dominguez, right? Like, you then pluck away a red flag from what he is as a player, and I think that then you're able to give him more run, and I think that he has more of a role on this big league roster. And it looks legitimate, Ryan. Like, I think that we might have finally arrived with Jason Dominguez to the point where he has a set role, and he can play every single day, and you know what it is? I'm going to use a Boone turn. There's a lane for him to play. There is finally the lane for Jason Dominguez to have some playing time and be perfectly okay. So I think that, I mean, it's super impressive. And I think that we've always believed in what Jason Dominguez was as a player. And I love to see that the skill set against left-handed pitching is finally coming to fruition. And it gives you that sort of asset. Just play like average defense, man. If you can play average defense and you mash, we can play it every single day, bro. I still think the talent is there for this guy.
I agree. I think that there's definitely a world where he's an above average everyday regular. Again, I'm not over-indexing this sample size to tell you because of this stretch, he's an above average regular. But it is what we saw was, okay, can you just keep doing this, Vic? Because, God, you're a darn talented hitter. This guy's a really darn good hitter. And a very talented one. It just has to materialize, and he just has to figure out how to not be a horrendous defender. Because if you can do that, I think we're in a good spot. Anyone else on offense we want to shout out?
Listen, I do want to shout out Cody Bellinger real quick.
Yep.
Shout out Cody Bellinger. The numbers, I know that earlier on he kind of struggled and got off the slow start. The WRC plus is back up to 139 now. Ryan, I don't know if you've seen that walk rate of his.
Yep.
7% last year, up to 14%. The OBP's at like 370. He's slugging 480. Like, that's great for him. I think that he has been awesome. He's taken his walks now. The numbers look really good. And he was the best hitter in this series for this Yankee team. So I would shout out Belly. I think that we're like that. The contract looks beautiful now. I think that we're good. We had a little bit of questions early on, but hey, like, Belly, we're back. We're good to go, baby.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger now leads all of baseball among primary left fielders in wins above replacement. In 2025, primary left fielders, Cody Bellinger led all of baseball in WAR. So, look, I think if he actually made real changes to improve his walk rate, and that's like a real thing he can do consistently without consolidating any of the power, which is what we're seeing so far, that is a game changer. Like, that really does alter my perception of Cody Bellinger the hitter, because I no longer am just looking at him for the average and the slug. Now I'm going all three of the slash lines, all three aspects of your slash line are going to look good, and that means that you're going to be a really damn good player, and he's looked awesome, and the underlyings look good. Everything looks good for Cody Bellinger right now. Do want to shift gears to the pitching staff, because Sam, I mean, I got to say two things. First and foremost, just another, like, good series of the rotation. It kind of feels underwhelming when there isn't, like, an outwardly dominant performance. Like, Warren was good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, I'm kind of being a little bit dismissive by not grouping in 6 1/3 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk as a really good performance.
Right.
They were just good again. Like, that's what they did. They were just really good again. This rotation's really good. I don't know what else to say, man.
Three shout outs. First one. So I had a little bit of Tarik Skubal talk. Okay. The American League favorite to win the Cy Young after the Tarik Skubal injury is Cam Sliter. That's insane. That's shout out number one. He's the best pitcher in the American League. I know that he didn't look amazing tonight, but he was pumping. Like, you saw consistent 100 from him tonight. I know it was a bit of a grind for him. He ended up getting up to 90 pitches, and Bird got out of that jam late, which was awesome. But it was certainly more of a grind for him tonight. But pumping cheddar, AL Cy Young favorite. Let's go, Goat. And then I'll just mash two shots together. Dude, this Warren Weathers five spot battle is legitimately Balboa versus Drago. Like, what is this? What the hell is this? Like, the two of them rock. Like, they are awesome. You could take Warren and Weathers, just put them on the Orioles. It'd be their one and two. Like, put Warren and Weathers on the Orioles, it'd be their one and two right now, man. You kidding me? They could use them.
I do not want to over-index seven starts from Ryan Weathers, but, like, right. So far, yeah, man, feel good about the trade. Thumbs up. Happy about it. Yankees got a good starter, and they didn't give up premium prospect talent. I can give you, like, the updates on the guys who they gave up. The top guy was Dylan Lewis, who I did like, and I still believe in to an extent.
Yeah.
He's in Double A, still in an adjustment period. 100 WRC plus, 30% strikeout rate. Like, I'm not telling you he stinks. I'm just telling you, like, so far, early on, we're too early to fully evaluate this thing. It's not like, ah, crap, they give up a gem. Brendan Jones, kind of ho-hum, continuing to hit in Double A. He's doing what he usually does, hitting for good. Like, he actually does look good in Double A.
Yeah,
he's a left-handed hitting outfielder. So, like, it's not like it's a particularly great organizational fit or for the Yankees' needs. I saw Dylan Hasso's stats. It's not particularly good. He has not looked good down there. And the last guy, I always forget, and I feel bad about this because I actually thought he was a pretty good prospect too, but I'm not going to be able to get this one. I'm not going to be able to get this one, unfortunately. Juan Mathis. Juan Mathis.
Yes.
He's in high A. He has a below 100 WRC plus. He does look like he's running in some bad luck. He could turn it around. But point is, no one here is like, oh, they're going to become a top 100 prospect. So I feel good.
But even like, that trade in and of itself, just kind of like a mash. Yeah, let's just mash four guys together and just throw it. Like Lewis felt like the Durbin of this offseason, right? Like Durbin was so hyped up at the end of the year last year and ended up getting traded for Devin Williams, who at the time was like GOAT. Like, he was still one of the best relievers in the sport. Dylan Lewis felt the exact same way, where it was like, yeah, like, you know, this guy got super hyped over the winter and then gets dealt for an arm like Ryan Weathers, which, I mean, there were a lot of questions. Like, we had a lot of questions, right, about, like, what Weathers is going to be and, like, what the fit was going to be on this roster. And to be honest with you, I kind of still have those questions because, like, you know, once everybody gets healthy, I think that those questions become a lot louder as far as, hey, man, like, this is going to be a group of legitimately six really, really talented starting pitchers. So, obviously, six guys don't fit in a rotation. It's got to be a five spot, and I think that they want to run a five spot. And it sucks for Weathers to be the odd guy out because of how good he's been. But when you stack it up to the rest of the roster, man, like, it's got to be Weathers, and it stinks because Warren has been unbelievable.
I can't believe how good Will Warren's been. Like, it's a little crazy, right? Like, he's got a 2.39 ERA. He's got a 2.80 FIP. He's got an expected FIP of 2.59. Like, I'm gonna read off two players' stat lines here. ERA 2.97, XFIP 2.48, strikeout percentage of 33.3%. That's Nolan McClain. Those numbers are pretty much the same as Will Warren's. And, like, I'm not doing the, like, Nolan McClain's not as good as Will Warren. Like,
no.
I think Nolan McClain's better than Will Warren. But, like, that's one of the top young pitchers in the game.
Yeah.
And Will Warren's pitching at that level. Like, Will Warren's one of eight starters with a strikeout rate of at least 30%. That might have changed today because I know Soriano's kind of been getting hit around. Yeah, it did change. He was getting hit around by the White Sox today. So he's one of six starters with a strikeout rate of at least 30%.
Oh, Jose Soriano, I thought that was real baseball, dude. That sucks.
The White Sox own him. The White Sox are the only team that's been able to break him.
Everson Pereira, probably three home runs today.
No, it's actually Murakami. Murakami hit his 14th.
Oh, GOAT.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, sad. GOAT.
But here's the crazy part. Here are the walk rates for the other guys with a 30% strikeout rate. 9.7%, 10.8%, 7.2%, 11.1%, 5.3% Will Warren. Like, he's just going after people, man.
He's throwing strikes.
GOAT, dude.
Welcome back, Mikey King.
Yeah.
Mikey King, welcome back.
It's important because I think Elmer's starting tomorrow against Texas. It'll actually be his second time facing Texas. And
they're playing Texas again? Oh, yep.
They host Texas this time.
Lord, man.
I'm only saying this to note, like, guys, Will Warren was a bad major league pitcher to start his career. Will Warren, through his first... this is crazy. Will Warren, through his first... this is 2025. Sorry, this is... It gets even worse. I forgot about 2024. I forgot that he was absolutely horrible in 2024.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
he was Will really
Warren
bad.
Had a 7.71 ERA in his first 51 and a third innings pitched. Just like... I want you to visualize what it means to be a 7 ERA pitcher. Like, dude, this guy sucked to start his career.
Yeah.
And then he reined it in, he figured it out, and he's looking like one of the best pitchers in baseball. So, patience, my friends. Patience with some of these young guys.
Yeah, I think with Elmer specifically, too. Like, we're going to see Elmer again tomorrow. So, and we're not going to overreact after his first start either. Because we didn't. I mean, it's... He's a young dude, but like, I mean, Warren was legitimately horrible. I will forever remember his first start. I was at his first start in Philly. He got knocked around. I think it was like 4 runs over 3 innings, and they had to yoink him. They had to scratch Cole. It was the day they scratched Cole in 24, and they had to call up Warren real quick, and he made a start. And he was just bad. And like, they were just at like a, they had so many issues with their starting pitching. Flash forward 2 years later, you have way too much starting pitching, but you could never have enough.
Crazy to say, that start in Philly was probably one of his best ones of the year that year.
Which is crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Crazy. One more shout out, and then we'll go to our series previews and our Aspen Vodka player of the series, and then our series previews. Brent Hedrick, dude, just some great head again this weekend.
I love head.
Just incredible head.
I love head.
Head is incredible. Just great head. Great head. Crazy stat here. So win probability added, for those who are not aware. It's a stat that measures, like, it tries to take into account, like, the leverage of situation you're in, right? So, like, hey, are you coming in, and are you coming in big spots, and are you delivering, right? It's factoring that in. So it's trying to measure how much you increase the team's win probability. Brent Hedrick, one of 7 relievers with a win probability added at 1 or more, leads the New York Yankees. His clutch rating, so how much better you get in clutch situations, top 6 in baseball. Shutdown innings, 7. Meltdown innings, 1. That's not predictive. It's not, but like, he also looks good. Like, he's got good swing and miss numbers. He's got a really good fastball. Yeah, man. When you're in a big spot, when Aaron Boone's in a big spot, he knows he can go get some head, and we're good.
Ridiculous. Right. Shout out Apple. You got to fix your AirPods, man. Is it safe to say that Hedrick is, all right, Hedrick and Warren are Blake's 2 breakout guys this year?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty fair assumption, right? Like, those are totally the 2 guys that we lab the most with in the winter, and we're seeing it happen in real time with this Yankee team. I mean, it eliminates, I mean, there's still a lot of questions that we have about the bullpen and what there is a unit, but Hedrick being as good as he is eliminates another question. It's kind of similar to the Jason thing, right? So, like, with Jason, we have the concern about him hitting against left-handed pitching. Hey, we're here. Hedrick being as good as he is then fills in another, hey, like, trust tree spot where you're good. Like, trust tree right now, Ryan, I think we're probably like, I low-key think Hedrick might be at the top. Like, it might be, I might have him over Bednar right now.
I think he's been so, just like, he deserves a lot of praise. He's just,
yeah,
been,
he's needs his flowers.
Yeah, dude, he's incredible.
Needs his flowers. Incredible. Like, he's going to play such a role down the stretch for them, dude. He rocks.
He, honest to God, he's been such a big part in the bullpen not completely melting down.
No, seriously. Yeah, like, 100%.
It's incredible how important it was that the Yankees made a waiver claim on a guy that the Twins cut. Anywho.
Nuts?
Yeah, just nuts.
Crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah.
You know what's even crazier, Sam? It's crazy just how good Aspen Vodka is. Isn't it crazy?
It's goaded.
Like,
scouted.
You're at the ballpark, you're sitting down, you're gonna watch one of the Yankees many incredible starting pitchers throw 5 to 6 innings of 1 to 2 run baseball, if not shutout baseball. You're going to watch Ben Rice hit a ball 587 miles per hour. You're going to watch this team win 155 games, something like that. I don't know, just being conservative here. And you're going to take a sip of your beverage, and it's going to be the most refreshing drink in the world, whether it's the Bronxdale cocktail, or if you need a little bit of energy, a little bit of spunk. I told Sam this. I got an entire documentary to edit after I edit this podcast. I'm going to be up all night. I will not be sleeping today.
You're nuts.
A little espresso martini. Actually, I can't do that right now. I got to drive in the morning. So a little espresso martini when you're at the ballpark, though, and you're taking the train like a responsible human being or being driven by somebody else.
Correct.
Those things are just, it just hits different, man. Sam, to commemorate such an incredible drink and an incredible brand in Aspen Vodka, the proud sponsors and partners of Fireside Yankees, who's your Aspen Vodka player of the series? Which player was the most transformative for you?
Shout out Judgy and Rice. Shout out Judgy and Rice. That's who got it last week. I'm not going to give it to him again. I feel like it's so copycat to just like give it to the same guys, you know, week over week over week. If that's what we're doing, I think Rice should probably get every single week. Not going to a starting pitcher. I did shout out this guy earlier in the episode today. Dude, give me Belly, Belly, Belly. We're going to rock with Belly. I like that the numbers are kind of stabilizing at this point in time. And I think that we saw over this weekend specifically that, dude, he's such a key cog in this lineup. When he's firing on all cylinders, he just truly extends what they are as a ball club and as a lineup specifically. And he just rakes, man. Like he rocks. Like he's awesome at the dish. Plays incredible defense at left field for that team. Center field if they need it to. Belly's so happy you're back for the next 5 years. So it's a couple options up in there as well. But Belly is my Aspen Vodka player of the week. Not sure if you're gonna get a cocktail. I think we're gonna do a cocktail next week on the Instagram page because we just dropped ours. What's today? Monday. So we dropped our cocktail last night. But yeah, it's got to go to Belly this week for sure.
I'm going to throw you for a loop here.
Okay.
I want to give this one to Paul Blackburn.
The burn.
Dude, mop up roll. Look, man, when you're playing 13 games, and I've been so harsh on Paul Blackburn, I've been so mean, so critical. But when you're playing 13 games, you need a guy who's going to come in and just, hey, you're blowing a team out, come in and do a job. Paul Blackburn pitched 3 innings in this series, did not permit a single run. In fact, I believe he only allowed 2 base runners. Or 3, yeah, 2 base runners. So, clean, easy. He's got a 3.21 ERA this year. Not sure how sustainable it is, but he's been doing his job. He comes in, you don't have to use anybody else after him. That's all I ask. Right? Like, at the end of the day, dude, I know it sounds weird to say this, but we've just given it to Ben Rice so much. We've given it to Aaron Judge so much. I can only give Aaron Judge and Ben Rice so many Aspen Vodka players in the series.
Yeah.
But on top of that, like, I know people are going to go, what are you talking about? Over the net, when you play 13 straight games in a row, you need to have these innings where your mop-up guy comes in and doesn't screw it up.
He doesn't
screw it up. I'm sorry.
I just think that it's funny that they scored 39 runs in 4 days and we go to the mop-up pitcher. Like, that is hilarious.
I could give it to Aaron Judge for the oopteenth time. I could give it to Ben Rice for the oopteenth time. I know, I'm just saying,
it's like hilarious, bro. Like, it's,
I could
like,
give it to Warren, who already has one.
Did he?
I wanted to give it to somebody new. I was this close to giving it to Brent Hedrick, just because like what he got out of on Saturday was great. But I believe
that is so transformative.
Yeah, I think the issue was just that I would make too many. Like I think you and I have both cashed out. We can no longer make another joke about. You know, we can't keep talking.
My fault.
About how like, hey man, settle down. hey, let's go to our series preview, Sam. Let's go to our series preview.
I just want to rock. Body out of here.
The Yankees play the Texas Rangers, an unfamiliar opponent. We have not faced them in quite some time.
Are you sure? Are you sure? My fault, yeah. Let's just cap this. I'm trolling. My bad.
Let's do it. Elmer Rodriguez versus Jacob DeGrom. Will Warren versus Nathan Eovaldi and Ryan Weathers versus Mackenzie Gore. Sam, you said 3 out of 4. I said 4-4 for the first time in this podcast.
You win.
I actually won. Sam, how will you get back in the win column here?
Ooh. Here's how I get back in the win column. This is tough. Elmer, I am so sorry. Tomorrow is Hydrogen Bomb versus Coughing Baby. You're going to lose tomorrow. Okay? Here's how else I get back in the win column. Nathan Eovaldi, you are going to win a baseball game on Wednesday against Dub Dubs. And like, and Dub Dubs has been awesome. So I'm not going to hit on William, but I think they dropped the first two and win Thursday with Weathers and the Bomb against Gore. Cause they haven't seen Gore, but, and I think they'll hit Gore well. I think Dominguez tank game three off of Gore being the lefty. Yeah. But I mean, just like I can't pick against DeGrom. And after seeing what Eovaldi did to us last week, it's tough. But I'm going to go, we lose this series 2-1.
Yeah. And it's understandable. I mean, the way that the Rangers starting pitchers have been, they're going to be on an off day. They're going to have more rested bullpen.
Yeah.
Like I think, look, man, given all those factors, look, game one, Jacob DeGrom versus Elmer Rodriguez is pretty easy. I think he's going to win 12-2. and then you look at the Nathan Eovaldi Will Warren game, you know, you know, obviously, look, we got to kind of dial it back here. He's going to win by only 8-3.
Got it.
You know, we're going to have a little scare with the bullpen and, you know, the Rangers, you know. And then game three, look, you can't sweep everybody, but you can't sweep the Rangers. And they're going to sweep. they're gonna sweep the Rangers. Ryan Weathers is going to throw nine innings of one-run baseball, and the Yankees are going to set the modern record for the most hits allowed for a starting pitcher.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Given all...
Okay. Thank God this is at the end of the episode.
given all of these variables, the New York Yankees are going to win this series in dominant fashion.
Okay. Holy cow, dude. I suck, man. I pick them to lose a series. You know, can't sweep everybody, but you can sweep the Rangers.
I unfortunately think you're a little more on the money here, but we'll see. We'll see.
Hey, bro, I love the optimism.
How about we like settle in the middle 2-3? I think that's like the hope, right?
Yeah,
it's just the starting pitching matchup is so bad.
That's why. So bad. I mean, like, but that's yeah. I mean, I think if you have like either Cam or I think if Cam or Fried is going tomorrow, I think you feel a little bit better, right? Like, I mean, you saw Cam versus DeGrom last week.
Yeah.
If Fried was going tomorrow, I think that you feel a lot better. But it just comes down to pitching matchups. And I mean, what have they won? Like 15 of 17? Like,
yeah.
It's play the song every day. It's play the song every damn day.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know what sucks, dude? I'm going on Wednesday. Oh. Dub Dubs. Yo, this is my third Will Warren start. I've gone to three Will Warren starts.
I think I've gone to two. No, I've gone to two. I didn't go to three. I saw the heel start. Yeah, I did go to
heel. You know what's funny? You were talking about you sit up there and watch your favorite starting pitcher, like strike out a bunch of dudes. And I was thinking about you, and I was like, damn, bro, the last time you were there, you had to watch Luis Hill.
Dude, last time I was there, I got hammered off one espresso martini, was bugging out on the line, gobbled down a one-foot-long hot dog.
Shout out to that picture.
The Yankees walked it off. I didn't see the walk-off, but I did get to gobble down a foot-long hot dog.
That's
crazy.
That picture's staying in the ball forever.
Yeah, if that picture ever gets out, that means Sam and I had a falling out if that picture gets out. Either that.
You're allowed to shoo me. You're allowed to shoo me.
Look, again, man. Look, man. I know, like, on all seriousness, I do understand the pitching matchup thing, but here's the reality of it, man. Here's the reality of it.
Okay. We got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. Facts.
He may have Jacob DeGrom. We got Elmer Rodriguez.
Hey, DeGrom. We're all good. Will Warren is here. Ryan Weathers is here. The big Elmer is here. Don't worry
We've got Mohawk Mark going.
All right, bro. Get me the hell out of here. You have a documentary.
I literally am getting zero sleep tonight. Anywho, thank you guys so much for tuning in here on the Fireside Yankees podcast. Thank you to Prize Picks and Aspen Vodka for sponsoring this video. Thank you to Sam Lucchini, because look at how handsome this guy is, man. I mean, good.
I'm trying my best to be like you every day.
It's unbelievable. It's unfair. Joe Sixpack clocking in for another episode.
Get that ass.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. You can check out our social medias at Fireside Yankees, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and of course this YouTube page. You can follow me at Ryan Garcia. Yes, I'm on all socials. Sam Sports Talk.
SST. SST Samuel. Shout out my Xbox gamer tag, dog.
Shout out Sam, man. Just shout out Sam. Aspen Vodka Player of the Series, Sam Lucchini.
Whatever, bro. Whatever.
Put him on screen.
Whatever. Whatever.
Shout out Chris Drew. Let's go Yankees.
Shout out KD35.
Shout out Chris Drew. Let's go Yankees. Peace out, everybody. Perfect.